We want to thank you for joining the Men's Summit podcast. We've gone through some of our archives and listened to some of the greatest messages we've heard at the Men's Summit. And I picked one from our very own Pastor Robert called Get Up Again. Many of us have had times in our lives where we've struggled and we needed to get back up. And in this episode, you're going to hear Pastor Robert talk about how, as men, do we get up again? Let's listen in.
All right, if you have your Bible, Jace, I know you do, turn to Matthew 14 and then put a marker at John 13. So we'll start in Matthew 14. We'll actually flip through a few chapters in Matthew, and then we'll get over to John chapter 13. Here's the title of my message, Get Up Again. Get Up Again. Here's the reason I say this. It is amazing to me that the Bible records the mistakes of great men. I don't know if you ever thought about that. But Noah got drunk when he got off the ark. And the Bible decided to record that. Abraham lies about his wife. And the Bible records that. God decides to record that in his book for us to read. David commits adultery and then murder. And the Bible records it. Here's a huge mistake. Solomon had 700 wives. That is a huge mistake. I can barely afford one, so I don't know how you afford 700 of them. So why in the world would the Bible record mistakes? Obviously, to encourage us. Because we all make mistakes. So there's a disciple that I relate to, Peter. Because Peter made a lot of mistakes. I don't relate to some of the other disciples. I don't relate to John, who leaned on Jesus' breast. Now, I understand that it was Jesus, but I've never had a desire to lean on another man's breast, just so you know. Hallelujah. So obviously with Jesus makes a little difference, but I'm just saying, if there's a disciple I relate to, I relate to Peter. You might also. So let me tell you, when the Lord gave us a message, get up again, I remembered a scripture. Proverbs 24:16 says, for the righteous falls seven times and rises again. And I decided to read it in some different versions. And when I got to the New Living Translation, listen to this. It says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. And the Lord had already given me the title of the message. So let me tell you some things about Peter, all right? Three things. Here's number one. Peter tried and failed. Peter tried and failed. All right, are you in Matthew 14? Look at verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Let me just stop for a moment. This has never been done before. We read this, doesn't surprise us. If you'd been in the boat, it would have surprised you. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Now watch this. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Now I'm going to show you why I relate to Peter. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, you know, I wonder sometimes what Jesus was thinking. He's thinking, I said, it is I. I is it. Lord, if it's you, bid me to command me to walk to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, that's good news for all of us that have messed up. Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he said to him, oh, you have little faith, why'd you doubt? Now, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but when they got back to the boat, everybody ran to Jesus and said, high five. You really are the Son of God. But maybe you've never ever thought about this. Peter was the only one in the boat wet. He's the only one wet. He's the only one who went down in the water. But Jesus said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I'm just wondering how Peter felt. I mean, at least he got out of the boat. No one else got out of the boat. At least he tried. But I relate to this because I've tried and got afraid and sank. All right, that's Matthew 14. Look at Matthew 15. Then Peter, Matthew 15, verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Watch verse 16. So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding?" Idiot. I mean, how would you feel if you were Peter? Explain this parable. You also don't understand this? Still? I mean, why do you have to put the words "also" and "still" in there? Of course, Peter's thinking, no, I understood it, Lord. I was asking for them. Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," by the way, means little stone, "and on this rock," that means huge boulder, "I will build my church. And the gates of hell," the Hades is the Greek word for hell, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, again, I think we read the Bible and we don't think about it. I want you to think about this. Jesus gathers disciples and says, "Okay, guys, who am I? Who am I? Yes, Nathaniel, who am I? Elijah." Now put yourself in Jesus' place. I just think Jesus said, "Okay, let's try this side of the room." Who am I? Yeah, Philip, yeah. Who am I? Jeremiah. Anyone else? Now, I want to meet this guy because he came up with an answer like I used to come up with in school. One of the prophets. You're one of the prophets. And then the next guy I really want to meet. Listen to this answer. John the Baptist. Now, you know what Jesus is thinking, aren't you? John baptized me. We're standing beside each other. You know? Does anyone know who I am? And Peter, even though he'd heard, "You of little faith, why'd you doubt? Are you also still without understanding?" He just couldn't hold it anymore. He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I love Jesus' response. "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, my Father in heaven." Here's what I think Jesus was saying. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. That you got the right answer. This is a miracle. Boys, you just witnessed a miracle. And I'm going to build my church on this rock. And you're a stone. You're part of it. But it's the rock of the revelation that I'm the Son of God. And I'm going to give you keys. Okay, personally, though, I think Peter heard it differently. That's why I relate to Peter. I think he got a little prideful. Because you'll see what happens right after this. But I think they're walking to the next place, and I think Peter's, you know, talking with James and John, says, "Did y'all hear?" He said, "I'm the rock." I always felt like the rock. I've always seen myself as the rock, and pretty excited Jesus is going to give me some keys. Pretty excited about that. Don't know what keys are because locks hadn't been invented yet, but I'm pretty excited about the keys. He's going to give me some keys. Here's the reason that I think he got a little prideful. Because later in the chapter, verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Because that's the gospel. He's now telling them the gospel. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You have to be feeling pretty good about yourself to rebuke Jesus, don't you? And said, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not mindful, you're an offense to me. You're not mindful of things of God, but the things of men." Now, personally, that would have hurt my feelings. To be called the devil by Jesus. You Satan worshiper. Here's, again, I'm not trying to make fun of Peter. I'm trying to tell you, I'm glad that there is a guy in the Bible like me that puts his foot in his mouth, that says the wrong thing at the wrong time, that starts feeling good about himself and then falls flat on his face. I personally think Peter probably thought something like this. "You're never going to hear another word out of me, I'll tell you that. I'm not saying anything else." Of course, next chapter. Matthew 17, verse 1. Now after 6 days, now there's a miracle. Peter has not talked for 6 days. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. That means that he had, the Bible's Colossians, he's had all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in his body. And he just revealed a little bit of it. And he not transformed, transfigured. It means that he became light. It's like looking at the sun. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. In other words, the light was shining through his clothes outwardly. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Now, what do you think about this? Okay, Peter's got his feelings hurt, standing in the back. Jesus said, "Okay, I have a special assignment. I can only take a few of you. It's very special. James, you come with me. John, and Peter, you come too." Now again, I can just see him walking up the hill. James and Jesus probably up there walking. Peter's walking John. He probably remembers that I'm the rock. I'm gonna forgive him for that whole devil business stuff. He's got a lot of stress right now, you know, so. So they get up to the top. Jesus is transfigured. Moses and Elijah, Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. The law and the prophets, when Jesus referred to the Old Testament, he referred to the law by the law and the prophets. So the Old Testament is talking to the New Testament. This is a holy moment. I want you to look at the next three words. Then Peter answered. Who asked him anything? Who asked Peter his opinion? Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, watch this, "Lord, it's good for me to be here. It's good for us to be here." It didn't matter they were there. They were just there as witnesses. You understand that, don't you? Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses. In this case, it'd been better if it'd been two. Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, let us make three different church buildings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Look at this verse. I love this verse. Verse 5. While he was still speaking. Now, you ought to start getting a hint that you talk too much when God has to interrupt you. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Now, God had said that one other time when Jesus was baptized, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But this time he adds two words, "Hear him." In other words, shut up, Peter. Please, shut up. I'm telling you, this encourages me. John 13, this is when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. John 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that he'd come from God and he was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And this is very funny that the Bible thought we should know this. Then he came to Simon Peter. Now, why would it have to tell us that? This is, can you imagine, the Creator is washing the creation's feet. This is an extremely holy moment. And one disciple talked during the ceremony. And Peter, now listen, he's got a towel, a basin, and he's washing. Watch me. Simon Peter, brilliant, said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, now I'm going to say something that's not in the text, but I personally believe this is the way he said it. This is what I think Jesus once said. "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this, if you will shut up." That's personally what I think he was thinking. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him. Now again, I'm just putting a little inflection. I think it's like this. "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my heads and my hand." Shut up! So Peter tried and failed. That's point number one. Here's point number two. Peter failed big time. Peter tried and failed. Point number two, Peter failed big time. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Here's the reason I like Peter. Because I relate to him. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, for the Bible says it. This is going to happen because the Bible says it. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered, but after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered. It's amazing how many times he says he answered and no one asked him. And said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Matthew 26, just a little farther down, 69. Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a teenage waitress, a servant girl, came to him saying, "You are with Jesus of Galilee." He denied it before them all, saying, I don't know what you're saying. When he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also is Jesus of Nazareth. But again, he denied with an oath, "I don't know the man." A little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know that man." And immediately a rooster crowed. By the way, let me show you how it says it in Luke. Luke 22, 16, 61. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Now here's the sad part. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. By the way, when he turned and looked at him, it was when he was being beaten and they were plucking the beard from his face. He is being beaten. Peter is watching the Lord being beaten. And he denies him. And Jesus turns and looks at him. How bad would you feel? I know that feeling because I've done it. I failed big time, and so have all of you. Don't look at me with those self-righteous eyes. We've all failed, and we've all failed big time. But here's point three. Peter got up again. Peter got up again. In Acts 2, it was Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. In Acts 3, it was Peter who said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." In Acts 4, it was Peter that said, "There is no other name given under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." In Acts chapter 5, they laid sick people on the street to get the shadow of Peter to fall on them when he passed by, and they were healed in his shadow. In Acts chapter 8, he healed the first woman from the dead, the first person from the dead after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter raised her from the dead. Acts 9, I mean. In Acts 10, he preaches the gospel to the Gentiles, which most of us are Gentiles. The gospel had only been preached to the Jews until Peter had the courage to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. By the way, this encourages me. This is encouraging me. He preaches the gospel to the Gentiles, Acts 10, 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. It encourages me. Even after he was a great man of God, he still talked too long. I can just see Peter's preaching to the Gentiles and the Holy Spirit's up there. Okay, give the invitation. Give the invitation. Give the invitation. Oh, shoot, I gotta go. Show you one more scripture, Mark 16. Jesus is about to leave the tomb. He leaves two angels there. These two angels, these women come to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial with spices because they weren't able to, because he was put on in the tomb right before the Sabbath and they weren't able to do it. And this is what one of the angels said to the women, Mark 16, verse 6. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Verse 7, watch carefully. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said to you." Here's what I like about that. You know that Jesus told that angel to say that. Jesus is leaving the tomb and he turns around and he says, "Okay, guys, listen to me. There are going to be some women coming. I told the men that I was also going to rise on this day, but you know how men are, they'll forget. So there'll be some women here. Tell the women to tell the men to go to Galilee like I told them, and then I'll meet them there. And then I think Jesus turned around and was about to leave, and he turned back around and he said, make sure you tell them to also tell Peter. And Peter. Because the last time I saw Peter, he was feeling pretty bad. Because he'd just blown it. But you tell Peter, because I got up again, he can get up again. And I came here tonight with a word from God for you. I'm telling you that because Jesus got up again, you can get up again. And some of you men are thinking, I have blown it and I have failed. And I failed worse than a lot of the men in this room. But I understand that. And you know I understand that. I'm telling you, you can get up again. You can get up again.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it, share with your friends, and subscribe to stay up to date with the new episodes. If you'd like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.